In dealing with something this week, these verses just jumped out at me and hit me brand new and became a tremendous blessing in my life. And I want to share that with you this morning. Matthew chapter 11, we're going to go to the last three verses in this chapter. They're familiar, I believe, with most of God's people. If you're not familiar with them, I hope that today your familiarity will increase immensely. And I hope that they will become a reality in your life. Notice how he starts, "Come unto me," verse 28, chapter 11, verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, thank you for these wonderful verses. Lord, through the years, your people have taken such comfort in them. Lord, through the years, we have been admonished by them. We've had conviction from them. And today I pray that whatever the need is in our life, that you might use them once again and speak to our hearts. We ask it in our Savior's name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. Some of the great words in the Word of God are directed to a very special group of people. For we notice here, he says, "All ye that labor and are heavy laden." And you might say to yourself, "Well, I've really worked hard this week and I've carried some loads." But let me explain. I believe it goes a little bit deeper than that. I'm not a Greek scholar, nor do I pronounce Greek words very well, but the Greek word there, and just to make you think I'm smart, is kapeo. I think I got it right. But it carries with it this idea, and this is good for us to understand, intense weariness from the burdens of life. In other words, they are very heavy upon us. Those burdens of life, those burdens of sin, and those burdens of sorrow. And the Lord says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor." Intense weariness from the burdens that we bear. And then he says here, and not only labor, but are heavy laden. That's a term that it's for teasel for what it's worth, but it means to be overburdened, as in spiritual anxiety. We have something that's so much upon us. We are so anxious about it. We are literally chewing our fingernails. We're really biting the lip, so to speak, because we have this burden. And so the Lord says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy burdened." Our problem is we don't recognize where we're at. But when we do, he says, "Come unto me." The promise here is to those who will come that he will give us rest. And when he tells us here he will give us rest, we're not talking here about a cessation from work, for we find later in verse number 30, there's still a yoke, there's still a burden. But it's a restfulness in the labor. It is a restfulness in the work to where it is no longer laborious, but it is that which brings enjoyment to our life and refreshment. I remember many years ago, my oldest brother, who has been gone many years, died in 1980. And I remember a few years previous to that, he had taken a vacation, perhaps one of the only vacations that he ever took in his life. And he went up to his in-laws. They were farmers up in South Dakota. And when he got there, he didn't choose a very good time to go visit in-laws because it was haying season. And haying season in those days is not like today when you go out with your combine and gather it up and it all rolls up. I was talking with Danny about this earlier, and you get this big 2,000, 3,000 pound bale and you go out with a tractor and stick a fork in it, raise it up with hydraulic and drive it into your barn. In those days, they made the bales that men went by and they picked them up, threw them up on the hay wagon. And a guy up there would grab those and stack them, and they get that thing to where you was throwing them way up above your head. And when you do that, the hay just naturally trickles down. It's always not quite as windy as you'd like it to be, but just enough that all of that just falls on top of you, and the dust and the dirt and the grit. And I'll tell you what, it is hot, it's dirty, it is hard work. And of course, all the men were haying, and my brother is there. What do? You go out and you put up hay with them. And so they worked for the week, and as he was gone and he labored, he says, I worked harder than I've worked ever in my job and the labor I'm doing there. And he laid carpet in the linoleum. It was hard work. But yet he says, I worked harder that week. He'd known it as a kid, but he said, man, this was tough work. And he came back from the vacation. He said this, but I feel so good. What happened? What took place? He wasn't looking at the hardness of it. He was seeing it in an enjoyable light because he was with some people that he knew and cared for, and he was working together with his in-law relatives and just having a great time with them. And even though the labor was hard, he was enjoying it. A lot of folks, they think labor is never any fun. And they never learn to enjoy their work. That's whom the Lord is talking to here. He says, I want you to have a rest. I want you to have something. He says, I want you to know in life with all of those things that make you weary, I have something for you. It's called rest. When we come to Christ for this place of rest, this is interesting because the next thing He says is, take My yoke upon you. Hey, come on over to My house. Let Me hand you a hoe. And we're going to go out into My garden and I'll give you a row and I'll take a row. And you say, wait a minute, I thought I was going to rest. No, take My yoke upon you. What you're going to get is to fellowship one with another. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, He says. And we have this wonderful yoke now that binds us one to another, and particularly here to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the purpose of that yoke is to make the burden light. Think about it. The yoke is easy and the burden is light. I want us to think about this morning three different kinds of burdens that we carry. And I want us to think about those three kinds of burdens and realize that He is the one whom we can yoke with and have rest unto our souls. I believe there's a burdens of care that is spoken of right here in this context. These are the things that, really burden us and really bring us down. And you and I, we find that as we look at this text, the burden doesn't change. He doesn't say, I'm taking away your burden. He says, take My yoke upon you. And we find that He says, My burden is light. What has happened? Hey, if you come to My garden with Me and you and I fellowship as I'm hoeing and you're hoeing, guess what? The burden is lighter. And it's exactly the same thing with the Lord, because now in fellowship with Him, now with He at our side, now with Him in the yoke with us, we find that indeed things have changed. While I was gone, the old email just keeps clicking away. You know how your postal box gets fuller and fuller when you're gone? If you don't have somebody come and take it out, and they do it in my house, I'm thankful to the Lord because all the mail for church, all the mail from our house comes in one mailbox, and we get home, the table just looks like it's a big old hay mound. You know, all that stuff to go through. And, you know, we are great recyclers in our family because about 7/8 of our mail goes in the recycle bin. You know, are you like that? We got all this stuff, you know. But my email was, I had about 200 and some messages there. And, of course, a lot of it was this, that, and the other thing. But as I was going through that, somebody sent me something that I thought was very interesting. Back in 1929, they began to build the Empire State Building. How many have ever seen the Empire State Building? Some of you have. I've never been to New York City. And they began to build that Empire State Building. And as I began to look at, they had a bunch of pictures that were attachments to this. And I began to look at those pictures. And as I was scrolling down and looking at this one and looking at that one and looking at the other one, I noticed that there wasn't too many hydraulic things taking place. I noticed that when they were putting rivets in, that was the old-fashioned way, there was a guy stood on the back side and held the end of it, and the other guy on the front side, and they were just kind of pounding together. They didn't have one of those pneumatic things that just does all the work by itself. I noticed also that as they were standing on some of those steel beams, they were way up in the sky. At one point, they were looking down at the Chrysler Building, and these guys were above it, and they're walking on this steel beam. They had no safety harnesses on us. They had no ropes tied to their sides. I saw one picture. There's a guy, he's standing on a board. It's about that wide. It's about a 2x6, maybe a 2x8. And he has that propped underneath another steel beam. And he has the post right here. He's standing out over nothing, working with another guy, putting a rivet in. And I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, these guys were crazy. I mean, it was done in a way that today we'd say, no way am I going to do that. And the building industry is so much different today. If we don't have a tool that does it automatically for us, we're going to find somebody to make one for us. And I say, amen. Thank God for some of that. But when we stop and look at it, that was hard work. And today we have a whole new perspective on how to build, how to have safety within the building industry and with all the things that we do. And we're concerned about all of those different things. And what I look at here is the burden is the same as they built the Empire State Building as it was when they built the Sears Tower. The burden was the same to get the job done, but the way that it was handled was different. And the experience of the people was different. And what is important for you and I to understand is that if we will allow God to work in our lives, if we will let Him to come, or if we will come unto Him, listen, we can take that yoke upon ourselves. And the burden indeed becomes lighter. All of those things that we care about, God wants to bear them with us. If you got your Bible, turn to Galatians chapter number 6. The book of Galatians. I'd like to just take a few more moments with some other burdens that we have. Book of Galatians in chapter number 6. And if you look in verse number 1 and verse number 2, we notice something. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. By the way, if God has sight into a problem in a person's life, it's not for the purpose of construction. Let me share with you what I mean. Verse number 2, he goes on, says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. There are not only burdens of care, but there are burdens that must be shared. From our context, the burdens that we need to share with people or with one another are those burdens that are of restoration value. To bring them back to the position where they need to be. Restoration comes in the form of helpfulness to do right. Satan. Let me ask you a very important question. How many can see the faults of another person very easily? You who are sitting here with your hands down are telling a big lie. We're going to deal with that one next week. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Well, you're made that way because we are human beings. And we can see the faults of others. Oh my goodness, if we could see ourselves as we see others, would things be different? But God, in His great abundance of mercy, if He allows that in our lives, I mean, when He allows it, it ought to have purpose. It's not to beat down. It's not to be critical. It's to lift up and to help and to be a blessing to share that with them. Anyone can see our faults. Anybody can find our faults. Anybody can tell us our faults. And by the way, that's not what verse 1 is all about. Well, I'm going to just tell them about it. No, we need to bear the burden with them. It's helping them with those things. As we consider the previous text with Jesus as a part of the yoke, I believe this reveals to you and to me that that position in Christ has opened us in bringing others to a closer relationship with Him. In John chapter 13, verse 14, He says, "If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet." What's He saying? If I'm willing to bear the yoke, then you ought to be willing to bear the yoke, is what our Lord, I believe, is saying. There are burdens of care. There are burdens to share. And if God has allowed us insight, if God has allowed us strength, if God has made us strong in the Lord, then we have a responsibility to help in bearing that burden in somebody else's life. What parent is not willing to help their child whenever they need the help? And what truly born-again child of God is not willing to help another that is walking in the Spirit of God? There are burdens of care. There are burdens to share. And a wonderful position for you and I to have somebody reach down and share it with us, and to be able ourselves to reach down and pull up and help with somebody else. You see, God has put us together as a church, not so we can wrang each other, but we might help each other. It's interesting that God has given, through the Spirit of God, the gifts to the church. Did you ever wonder, why did He gift the church? Why did He give these different abilities to different people? And why, when you study those gifts, do you find that they are things that Christians are supposed to have anyway? That's an interesting thought. Why is there a gift called giving, but are not Christians to give? Why is there a gift of discernment, but are not Christians to have discernment? Because God has enabled different people to have better abilities that they might help us to have those same abilities. Amen. I'm losing the name right now. I have trouble with names sometimes. I have no idea why the only name that comes to my mind is Vivian right now. Because not even close. Tell me, Rosie, what was her name? You have no idea who I'm talking about. Lavina. How many remember Lavina? Okay, some of you do. Every Sunday morning, I'd be standing at the door and she'd walk in and say, "You need a smile." And honestly, I was smiling inside, just wasn't showing up. You know, it got here, but it hadn't got up here yet. And I've looked in the mirror and smiled at myself, and really I think I look kind of stupid when I'm smiling. But anyways, Here's the bad part. I look kind of stupid when I don't smile. So, you know, you just... So anyway, every Sunday she would do that. And I think, my goodness, I must look like a mess. And she'd come in and she always had such a sweet smile. And she'd tell me that. Once in a while, I'd get a little irritated with it. And I'm smiling, Lavina. And one day she came in and I was smiling. I said, that's like it should be. And you know what I was doing, Mary? I was just humming a song out loud. I found out that which is inside, if I just hum it out loud, it kind of brings a different glow to my face, I hope. I'm not sure. And after that, I see her. This morning, somebody said, you know, something about my singing. I don't know what they said. I don't listen because it's a lot of times very critical. We're trying to help you. But seriously, that was a tremendous help in my life. You know, I don't want to convey on the outside that which is not on the inside. That's what I was doing. And I think I still have a big problem with it. But it's one of those things that I thank the Lord that somebody was willing to reach down and lift up. Not to be critical and say, oh, you're such a dud. But to encourage me in it. Amen? And then I notice in the same text, there are burdens that we have to bear. If you go on with me in verse number 3, he says, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Oh, what a text we could deal with. And it really goes with the next. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not another. For every man shall bear his own burden. A man who does the work that God calls him to do has the joy of God within him. Because there are burdens that God calls us to bear. But they're not overwhelming burdens. They're not that which we cannot handle. Because He's always there. But we must bear them. Now let me ask you a question. Are people in this world hurting? Do people in this world have problems? Somebody just say amen, yes. You know, are you awake? All right. We have problems. I mean, folks have all sorts of issues they deal with. By the way, that's one of my little pet peeves. People say, I got issues. Boy, you do. Got these issues I'm dealing with. That's non-specific things trying to make me think that they are really having big problems when they don't want to tell any of them because of their pride. But people have them. The burdens you carry are other people. If you're a parent, you're carrying a burden for your children. If you're a pastor, you carry a burden for your people. It's not an unbearable burden. Because the Lord is there. But it's a burden God wants us to carry. But in that burden, as we allow God to give us joy, oh, what that does as a witness to a lost world. When they see you go through a major problem, and you've got the joy of God, it does something in their life. I'm looking at Jacoba right now and realizing for 3 months she was in the rest home, did not want to be there, did not want to be away from her home. It was not an exciting thing. But I saw her take the idea, I'm here. God give me the grace to live. And she became a blessing to several people in that rest home. And I think probably lifted the spirits of some. And as they see her deal with her situation, have the joy of God. Do you realize that causes people to gravitate to us? How many are gravitated to grumpy people? How many folks say, "Oh boy, look at that guy. He is so down in the dumps. I can't wait to sit next to him." No, we don't do that. But those who are up, those who have the joy of God, it does something in the lives of others. So God gives us burdens. God allows those in our lives. But oh, thank God, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy burdened or heavy laden." And what's He say? "I will give you rest." And He gives us joy through it. Joy through it. Some of you have borne some very, very hard things. And they've been difficult. But the grace of God that took you through it spoke to some other individuals. Whether you know it or not, God uses that. There are burdens of care. There are burdens we must share. And there are burdens that we just need to bear. But bearing it in the power of God, in the joy of the Lord. Amen. Because His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Father, today work on our hearts. Bless, oh God, help us understand this great truth from this chapter. God, I pray that it will be that which we can just consider and think about and allow You, Spirit of God, to move this within our soul. God, I pray for any in this room who the burdens are overwhelming them. Lord, I ask You today, they might realize they can just come to You. Lord, we know there's the burden of sin and its payment, its everlasting wages of hell. But You said to come unto Me. Lord, we know that as Your people, we sometimes get so laden. Oh, You want us to come to You. You want us to have that yoke upon us, to be in that place of fellowship moment by moment. And indeed, that yoke is easy. How wonderful, how easy it is to have that fellowship and that wondrous time with You. And how light the burden is, how light that load is as a result. Teach us these great things. Lord, maybe some in this room need to just lay those burdens at the altar. They might come to You and just allow You, whatever the need might be in this time of invitation. Work, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. As we stand this morning, Emily's going to play.